awesome. I love that. It always sounds like we're watching the Jetsons or something like that whenever we watch the beginning of that. Y'all, it's been a great week of camp at Extreme Games. And I want to let you know, everybody's been asking us, how many kids do we have? It was a slew of people. And you're right, it was awesome. I think the kids had an amazing time. We had, in total, 177 kids that were part of this camp, that we served in this camp. So that was awesome. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, but it would not have been possible if it wasn't from the generosity of this church, from all of us together, coming together and giving and serving and so many things. It's been an amazing thing. You saw already one of the songs that the kids sang. You heard some of the funny ones as you were walking in, you know, with my mouth. Oh, that was a feat. I can do the right thing. So all these fun things that they've been doing all week, singing songs and playing crazy games. You'll see that in just a little bit on the video. But mostly I want to let you know that the kids, your kids, if they came, and all the kids that came to camp, learned about Jesus in a way that can really relate to them. And that's what we really believe in. We believe that the kids of this, you know, of this generation are not just the future, they're the present. And we just really believe so strongly in impacting the generation of now, the kids and the youth that are right now that God has an opportunity, God gives us an opportunity to impact. So that's why we did the camp. And I want to let you know too, on top of all the kids that came, there were at least 50 youth and adults who gave of their time and volunteered to be part of this camp in order to do it. And so it wasn't something that, you know, it was pretty cool to watch back, look back and just see everybody playing their role and doing everything. And it wasn't a one person thing. Everybody was pulling together. And the thing that was so cool is that I think a lot of you told me, hey, my kids loved it. They had a great experience. But I want to let you know, us adults and the youth who volunteered, we may have had even more fun because it was so fun to be used by God. It was so fun to be a part of impacting kids' lives in such a tangible way. And that's really what this whole camp and what the Fountain is all about. Part of what we're here to do, really, is we know God's great love, the love that God has for each and every one of us. And our mission, our hope is to spread that love to every single person so that everybody will get connected to a relationship with God and grow in that relationship, no matter where you are in the journey. And so we say it like this as our mission at the Fountain. We say, leading people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. We're here to help people get connected to God, and no matter where you are in that journey, to also grow in that relationship. And so that was the biggest thing that I wanted to let you know. And then I was blown away by just knowing the stories. Knowing all the stories of every kid who came, not every kid, but knowing the stories of so many kids who came in, and even so many volunteers that gave of their time. One of the things that's hard to tell when you come in and you experience something like that, and if you didn't experience the camp, that's okay. This is still a really cool thing to know, but many of the volunteers took off of work, vacation time. Many of them rescheduled and scheduled their vacations around this camp. Some of them left yesterday because they were waiting to go to the beach and wanted to schedule around this camp. And all of that to help fulfill that purpose of leading everybody into a growing relationship with Jesus. And that's really what we're here to do. And so I watched as everyone served and loved so well. And it reminded me, it was such a great picture of what Jesus is about. What Jesus really stands for and what the Church of Jesus Christ stands for. It's what the church is all about. And so I don't know what your experience of church in the past has been. We're not a perfect church. We're never going to be a perfect church. But we're following a perfect Savior. We're broken people. We're people that have a lot of different stories, a lot of different things. Nobody's perfect in here. But we're following a Savior who's perfect that we believe has transformed many of our lives and can change your life as well. And so that's what this is really all about, that we're all invited to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, where through Christ, everyone's welcome, everyone can belong, and everyone has a place. And that's what we're talking about in this series, a place for everyone, because we believe that God has carved out a place just for you and for me to belong. Now, this is not a soft thing where we just say, everybody's welcome here. The thing that's so cool is God had to do a whole lot in order to make us all welcome, not only in the church, but in his presence. He earned that on the cross. It was not a soft thing. But the thing that's so cool is that all of us have a place that God has carved out for you and for me to be part of his church, to be part of, have a relationship with him, to belong to him, through a relationship with Jesus. And through that relationship to also belong as in the family of God through the church. And so today we're focusing on what that really means. What that really means to be part, to belong to God and to be part of the church. And what does that mean to belong? And one of the purposes we're looking at today, we're looking at one of the purposes for your life that I believe you really discover when you get connected to God and when you get connected to one another through the church. And that purpose is this. You are shaped to serve. You're shaped to serve. You may know, I'm sure almost everybody knows the name Elvis Presley in here. Elvis Presley is not a foreign name to us. Most of us know who Elvis Presley is. And many of us were not either born or were barely born when Elvis was alive. But Elvis's legacy lives on. He's still known today as the king of rock and roll. In fact, I went to Elvis Presley's house, Graceland, one time, and it is awesome. It's so cool to see the life he lived. All the different things that he had and the pictures of people that he met. And it's such a cool to see his life that he lived and all the things that he did. And he was wildly popular, and most of us would call him really, really successful. But according to the people who knew Elvis the most, they'll tell you that he wasn't really happy with his life. Kind of strange for somebody that had everything, or so you thought, right? But his wife Priscilla tells and has told many times that Elvis constantly struggled to find a source, for significance, to find a source of meaning. And so he seemed to always struggle with that. And even though he had the image of having so many things, power and popularity and possessions and prestige, that struggle for higher purpose always left him feeling unfulfilled. In fact, here's what his wife, Priscilla, once said about Elvis and his life. She said, Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason. I think that's right. Maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. So he'd go on stage so he wouldn't have to think about it. Very interesting story to kind of know the behind the scenes of what he was dealing with in his life. And I don't say that to talk about Elvis Presley and say but it's one of those things. It's a reminder for me, and it's a reminder for you. I don't want us to live like that. I don't want us to walk through life and go through life and say, I missed what I was supposed to be doing. And so that's why we're doing this series, because we want you to have a place in the family of God and to have purpose as part of that family. And the thing that I've learned and we see with Elvis is you can accomplish a whole lot of things in your life. You can do a whole lot of things in your life, but you can still miss what God made you to do. So here's what in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul is talking. And he tells one of the purposes that God has for our lives. One of the purposes is really talking about what we talked about. And it says this, Ephesians 2:20. I think that's a different thing. Okay, it says this. For we are God's handiwork. Forget what's on the screen. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here's what it says again. For we are God's handiwork, or masterpiece. You've been created by God. It says this. Created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of this, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Now, this verse isn't really about salvation. It's not saying that we're saved because of all the different things that we do. In fact, you can't be saved by doing a whole lot of good things. A lot of people come to God and we think if we just do more good things than bad things, then maybe the scale will be tipped and we'll find ourselves in connection with God. And that's not the way it works. That's not what this verse is saying. It's not about salvation. It's talking about this, that once you are saved, you're called to serve. Once you're saved, you're called to serve. In fact, we say it like this here at the Fountain a lot of times. Saved people serve people. Saved people serve people. That's who we're called to be. That's one of the purposes for your life. Not because God needs to use you, but because you need God to use you. We'll talk about that in a minute. You need God to use you. See, everyone wants their life to count for something. All of us want to have meaning in our lives. All of us want to get to the end of our life and said, I really lived something. I left a mark. I left a legacy. I left something while I was here. I had meaning. And God's called you to serve him and to serve others, because in doing so, that's when you find your joy. And that's when you find your purpose So that's why we're talking about this today. The Ephesians passage really reminds us that you weren't put on earth, and I wasn't put on earth to just consume. We weren't put on this earth to just consume for ourselves. But I think we're tempted to think that we'll find purpose and we'll find significance if we just do things that make us happy, if we just serve our own needs, but it actually works in reverse. See, we often think that, you know, if we just can get to a place or if we can get to a position where other people can serve us, then we'll be happy, then we'll have significance, but it doesn't work that way. In fact, you probably have experienced that before in the workplace. Maybe you've worked somewhere, and you don't have to, you know, raise your hand and tell the story. And if your boss is in here, like, don't raise your hand or anything like that. But maybe you've been in the workplace before, and you've experienced that. Where I think we've all seen times where people have leveraged their authority, leveraged their position for only their needs. When they get in a position of power, a position of anything, start to lord over people and use that position for their own needs. And thinking it's going to make them happy, but in the end, they end up miserable. And everyone, you know, everyone who works for them, everyone who's around them is miserable as well, because that's not the way God wired it to be. And so it's a very similar thing happened in Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there, Mark chapter 10. Words will also be on the screen, so no worries if you don't have Bibles. And also, if you don't have a Bible, no worries as well. We have free Bibles that we give out every Sunday out on the Connection Point. We'd love for you to take one home, write your name in it. Let that be our gift to you. Because we believe when you read the Word of God in conjunction with what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life, that God can change your life. So love for you to pick that up on your way out. But Mark chapter 10, here's kind of what's happening. Two of Jesus's disciples had gathered around Jesus. They kind of cornered Jesus. And they wanted to know who was greatest among them. They wanted to know who was like the best among them. And so they went to Jesus and they pulled him aside and said, "Hey, Jesus, when we get to heaven," they say it a little bit differently. This is my translation. "When we get to heaven, who's gonna be like the most important people? Who's going to be the most important among us?" And what they literally say is, "Who's going to sit on your right hand and who's going to sit on your left?" And everybody knew in that culture that the person who sits on the right of the host of any kind of party that goes on is always the most important seat. The one to the left, the seat to the left of the host, is the second most important. So they're asking Jesus, when we get to heaven, now I know we're all, you know, all of us, all the disciples, we're going there, but who's the greatest? Who do you love the most? Who's going to be there? And it's interesting what Jesus says to the disciples. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 42 through 45, it says this: "Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them.'" In fact, he's kind of saying, "Hey, you know how when people get in certain positions, when people get in a position of power where they have influence, you know how people lord over you and they serve their own interests instead of serving the people?" Jesus says in verse 42 or verse 43, "Not so with you." And the disciples are kind of looking around at each other like, "What? That's the way it works. You work so hard to climb the corporate ladder, to climb the ladder of whatever you're trying to pursue so you can be on top, so you can start lording over people." And Jesus said, no. "Not so with people who call themselves my followers." Here's what he says in verse 43. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." And they're looking around like, "Are you crazy?" Verse 44. "And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man," talking about Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so what this is talking about, in other words, when most people get into a place of position, they use their influence, they use their authority, they leverage their authority for their own benefits, but not so with us. Jesus is saying we're called to be different. You're called to turn this paradigm upside down, because the reason that people struggle to find their purpose is because they're doing it the wrong way. Jesus is saying flip the globe around, flip it around, and everything starts to work. And the temptation for all of us is to say, "Well, what about me? Who's going to care for me?" As we sang that song, "I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side." All that stuff is a reminder that sometimes we wonder, like, if nobody protects me, if I'm not watching out for me, then who's going to care for me? And I want you to know that you have a God that you have the presence of the Lord who is always with you, is in front of you, behind you, always with you, that's there to protect you. And the invitation for all of us is to open up our hands and say, all right, God, I'm going to risk loving people well. And so, and that's what this is really talking about. And so Jesus is saying, look, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be great, if you want to have significant, become a servant of all. Start serving people because you're shaped to serve. You're wired to serve. And so if you start turning inwardly in your life, if you start turning inwardly, you'll never really find your joy and your purpose because you weren't made to only serve you. And I wasn't made to only serve myself. See, if you really want to be blessed, don't leverage your authority. Don't leverage your position for only yourself. Leverage your authority for God and to help others. That's what Jesus is saying. And when you do that, you find your significance. You find your purpose. You find that life has a meaning that's greater than your bubble. And that's what Jesus invites us through the church to be part of. And when you have a relationship with him. You know, Jesus taught that when you take the focus off of you, when you take the focus off you and I take the focus off of me, and we start serving God and others, that's when we find our joy. In fact, shortly after this, Jesus is about to go to the cross and he gathers the disciples together and they have this Passover meal. They eat a meal together and they walk into the house and they start eating. And usually when you walk inside of a house, back in Middle East time, in Jesus's time, there would be somebody that would stop you at the door and would wash your feet. Now, it's kind of a funny thing. If I were to do that, if you come over to my house and I say, all right, take off your shoes, it's time to wash your feet, you'd think I'm weird. But this is like a cultural thing they did. They would wash people's feet because they didn't have paved roads. They had open toe sandals. And people would be walking on these dusty roads day in and day out, and there would be dust caked up all over around them. And so in order to protect the floors that they probably just swept, and in order to protect their noses from the smell in the room, and also to be hospitable, they would wash people's feet. Well, nobody did this. This is all the disciples. Jesus had just told all these things about being a servant of all. And Jesus watched as nobody did that. And everybody knew that it's usually a slave and it's usually the lowest position. It's usually a servant who does something like that. And so as they're eating their meal and they're eating their food, Jesus suddenly like grabs a water basin and he grabs a towel and they're looking at him like, what are you doing, Jesus? And he walks over to him and he kneels down and he starts to wash the disciples' feet one after the other after the other. And some of the disciples, in fact, Peter, is like, no, Jesus, you can't do this. Like, you're the Lord of all the earth and you can't wash my feet. And Jesus still washes his feet because he wanted to teach him something really important about significance and what it means to live the life God has for us. The greatest among you should become the servant of all. Because what happens when you start serving people, when you start wanting to impact, use your life, leverage your authority for other people, you start to come alive. And so Jesus did this because he's trying to show us a model to say, if you want to come alive, start serving people. Start living for something greater than you, and you'll come alive, and you'll find your purpose, and you'll find your meaning and significance, even as a part of the church. And so blessing comes when you're willing to pick up your towel. It comes when you're willing to pick up your towel, when you're willing to become the greatest servant, because shaped people, we're shaped to serve God and we're shaped to serve one another. You know, our lives are kind of like sponges. You probably don't like being called a sponge, but just stick with me here. Our lives are a lot like sponges. You know, a sponge can only, we were throwing sponges this week, so this is probably why it's in my head. We were doing sponge dodgeball on water day. So if your kid got hit with a sponge, that's what that was all about. But anyways, our lives are kind of like sponges. There's only so much water a sponge can take in. You know, you can squeeze a sponge and let it expand and soak up as much water as possible. But in order for it to soak up any more water, when it finally gets to that tipping point, it has to be squeezed out before it can take in more water. Before it can take in more liquid. And what happens when you put when you leave some kind of liquid on a sponge and you put it on your sink and you just leave it there, you don't squeeze it out, it starts to harden over time, it starts to mildew, and it begins to stink. And it's the same way with our life, because God's constantly pouring into you. God's constantly blessing us over and over and over, working with his grace to woo us into a relationship with him, wanting to move in our lives. But if we only soak up that blessing, if we only keep that blessing to ourselves, at some point you'll stop feeling blessed. At some point, the tipping point will be reached where you can't handle anymore, and you'll start to feel like you can't, you'll start to feel like you're not blessed, even though you are. And so as God pours into you, you're made to pour out that blessing, to be squeezed out and poured out the blessing of God for other people and for God. That's how God's designed you and me to work. You know, you may know that God wants to use you. I want you to know that. God wants to use you. But all of us, at certain times, we have certain areas of our life. Certain areas of our life where we come to God, we look at God and say, God, I know you want to use me, but you can't use this. I've got an illustration for you. Sometimes we take these things in our life, and maybe for us it's a, you know, maybe it's a circumstance in our life. And we look at God and we say, God, I've got this circumstance. I've got this thing that I've been facing right now in my present circumstance. I know you want to use me, but in this season of my life, I can't be used. I'm tapped out. There's too much going on. This is too much of a struggle for me. God, I want to be used, but you can't use me right now. And so we take that circumstance, and sometimes we think it's garbage. We think it's trash. We think it's wasteful. And we say, well, God, this, you can't use this, and so we throw it away, thinking we can't be used. Or maybe there's something in our past. Maybe there's something in our past that maybe we're ashamed of. We've all got stuff like that. Stuff that we've done that we're ashamed of. Maybe some skeletons in our closet that we don't want anybody to know. In fact, we want to forget about it. But there's things in our past where we say, God, I know you want to use me, but you can't use this. I wish that I could just throw this away and never see this again. And so that's what we do. We oftentimes say, God, this is garbage to you. This is useless. You can't use this. Or maybe there's some kind of, for some of us, for all of us, I think there's some kind of sin in our life. Maybe there's an addiction we've been wrestling with. And we look at that and say, God, I know you want to use me. I know you can use all these things, but this mountain is too big for you to move. This thing is too difficult for you to work through. I know you've done things in the past in the scriptures, but I don't think you can handle something this big. And so we throw this away thinking that God can't use that. Or maybe there's a relationship in your life, or maybe several relationships, where you, maybe somebody you just walk by all the time and you're wondering, like, why is this person even in my life? Hopefully it's not your spouse or anything like that. But I'll get in trouble for that. That's not the way we are. I love my wife. Digging a hole, right? Maybe there's a relationship in your life. Maybe there's relationships that maybe have been in your life before and the chapter's closed. And maybe you look at that and you say, well, you know what? Maybe that was a season, but God, this is useless. You can't use that. And we throw it away thinking God can't use it. Or maybe for all of us, I think all of us have gifts. All of us have talents. All of us have things that God has given to us. And so I think sometimes there's gifts that we've been afraid to allow God to use. We know we've got them, but we've been afraid to give those to God. We've been afraid to allow God to use that because we don't know that we have enough. We don't know that we can really do that. And so we want to throw that away and say, God, please don't use that. And the thing that I love about the Lord is that God never wastes anything. I want you to know that. God never wastes anything in your life and in my life. Because God shaped you and formed you to serve him and to serve others. And he wants to use every single part of your life, every single part of your life to bring uniqueness to the ministry all of you have, to the way you serve in the world. He uses that to bring uniqueness. In fact, Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says this, "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." This is just a reminder that God doesn't create junk. God doesn't create junk. And when you go through junk in your life, and when you see things in your life that you think might be junk, God actually wants to pick that up and say, no, 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 it's useful to me. What other people think is trash or garbage or useless, I can use it. I want to use that very thing. I want to work in the middle of that thing to bring life to it, to actually use the thing that you wanted to throw away. God wants to use your talents and your gifts and your graces and your service and everything that makes up who you are, your shape. God wants to use that and mold it into something that's useful to him and useful to others. And so when God looks at our life, he empties this trash can, and God says, no, 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 no. All this stuff that you didn't think you didn't think I could use. Let me take your circumstances and let me work in the middle of that circumstance that you wanted to throw away. Let me work in the middle of that circumstance and show you how I can be the Lord even in that. In fact, maybe somebody in your sphere of influence that I'm going to intersect with your life is going through that same circumstance. And if you didn't go through that same circumstance, you wouldn't know how to serve them. I want to use that circumstance for my glory and to serve other people. Show up and pay attention, and I'll be working in your life. And so then maybe God takes our past, or maybe our sins, the things that we've done in our lives, the things that we've wanted to forget. And God looks at those and says, nothing's useless to me. Nothing's useless to me. In fact, sometimes your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. Your greatest strengths are anointed weaknesses. Things that God comes into your life and wants to use, wants to perfect, and wants to bring you through. And God is basically saying, look, if you didn't go through that, if you didn't go through these things in your past and maybe some sins that you were ashamed of, you wouldn't know the power that's available for you and for other people to break the bounds of sin and darkness in your life. Now you can share that with other people. Leverage your authority for the benefit of others. And so then maybe God takes the relationships in your life that maybe you thought was useless. Maybe you thought didn't have a point. In fact, when I came to start this church, Mandy and I moved in, and we were just the first here. And we get the title of being the church planter, but God's the church planter of the fountain. God's been the one that put the pieces together. But there's so many relationships that we've had in the past that have been, and I thought in my life, maybe the door was closed. Maybe, not that they were useless, but it was essentially, we had Facebook relationships or maybe less, you know? And it's been so cool to see that as we moved back to the area, something we didn't even see coming, that God's used relationships that we thought God had thrown away. And God's leveraged the relationships to help people to get connected to God and to get connected even through this church at the fountain. Just because God wanted to show us that he can use anything. Or maybe these gifts in your life, or these gifts that you've basically been afraid to use. You know, God wants to come into your life and say, I want to challenge you to trust me. I want to challenge you to trust me because I might want to make this very thing, this gift that you don't want to use, your greatest passion. And then by stepping out on faith and trusting me to use this, I want to help you to come alive. And so with God, nothing's wasted. Nothing is wasteful to him. See, God wouldn't give you something in your life. God wouldn't give you something in your life if he didn't want to use it. You start to look at your life very differently because everything God wants to use. God wants to use it all. Nothing's too wasteful. Nothing's too much garbage for God to use. See, God wants to take everything that makes up who you are and who I am, and he wants to turn it into something turn you into an instrument for serving God and for bringing God glory. That's who you've been created to be. Isn't that awesome how much God loves us and how much God can take something that looks meaningless and make something out of nothing? You know, everybody wants to have a life of significance and purpose. Somewhere inside of you and somewhere inside of me, we all have this God-wired desire, this yearning to be part of something greater than ourselves. We all want that. We want our life to have significance. And you know, you'll really find that purpose. You start to find that purpose when you're willing to serve a God whose purposes are greater than yours. That's when it happens. And so when God asks something from you, the thing I love about this, when God asks you to give, when God asks you to step out in faith to use your gifts, when God wants you to, in whatever God asks from you, when God asks something from you, it's usually because he wants something for you. Because the thing that I love about the Lord is when you start serving God and other people, God uses that to energize your faith and also give you a place where you can belong through the church. During this week at camp, it was amazing to see. I loved just kind of sitting back and seeing the different stories and seeing the different people's, everybody's lives kind of coming together and being molded together and working kind of like a symphony. It wasn't perfect. We weren't perfect. But when God put the pieces together, it started to look pretty beautiful. And the thing that I loved is just watching people use their gifts and their time and their energy who served. And although we were doing the camp to pour into a whole lot of kids, those who volunteered came away saying, I met Jesus as well. And I had a good time. I had a good experience. Those who served were also blessed. And as people served together, we found that they also grew together. and they discovered their place within the body of Christ. In fact, Romans chapter 12 talks about the body of Christ we're all part of, and it says this: for just as each of us has one body and many members, it means the body of Christ, and these members, each of us, do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member, or each person, belongs to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. See, when each person plays their role and serves in the way God's wired you to serve, God starts to mold our efforts together through the church and create something that could never be done in and of ourselves on our own. And so when you start using your gifts and when you serve according to the way God shaped you, you start to discover a place as a part of the team, as a significant part of the church. And so here's some action steps for you today. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to live for? We can make a choice to live for me, or we can make a choice to live for others and for God. What are you going to live for? And what does God want you to do with what he's put in your hands? What does God want you to do with that? You know, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to find something. Find something at least once a week. Find something at least once a week where you can give yourself away in service to something greater than you, to serve other people that has no benefit toward you. Find something once a week to give yourself away in service to something that only benefits someone else. Maybe a way to do that is to get involved in some kind of mission opportunity, because as you start serving people, you find that you come alive. One of the things we do every Sunday, we encourage people to get plugged in through a serve team. Serve teams are just the different people in the hallways and in the worship band and the kids ministry. Maybe that's a way that you can get plugged in, to give and serve in a way that's greater than you. And we encourage people to try stuff out. We don't know if we're always good at something. I don't know if you're good at something, but it's okay. You try something out and see if it's something that God has fit you to do. Or maybe you're listening to all this and saying, okay, that's great about serving and all this stuff about God, but maybe you haven't stepped over that line of faith before. Maybe you've, you know, been on that line and been wondering what this whole deal is about, and maybe you've never taken that step to cross from unbelief to belief. Well, I want to give you that opportunity today as well, because Jesus invites all of us. There's a place for everyone in the kingdom of God. There's a place for everyone in his family, and he wants to give you that purpose, a part of that. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue this time. And God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the way you want to use us. We thank you that you've got a purpose for our life and a plan for our life that's bigger than us. God, we thank you that you can take all the different junk in our life and use it for something, for your glory and to serve others. God, thank you that you create masterpieces out of a mess. And God, we pray that you would use us. We pray that you would encourage us to be part of something that's bigger than us, to serve something that's bigger than us. And I pray, God, that you would put things in our path, show us what you want us to be part of, and not wait. It doesn't have to be the perfect thing. God, help us to jump out today and tomorrow and the next day to be part of something bigger than us, to serve God and to serve others. And God, maybe for some of us, we've never crossed over that line. And maybe if that's you today, maybe you'd pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life today. I don't know all the answers. I don't have all my questions answered, but I know that your love will carry me. God, I thank you for taking all my past and all my sins and all the things in my life, all the junk in my life. I thank you that you can free me from that. And I pray that you would save me of all that. And God, more than anything, God, I want to start following you with the best I know how and with all of your power. Help me every single day to follow you, to turn from my way of living to your way of living. And when I fall, have your grace to pick me up and keep me on the path. But God, today I want to turn my life over to you and cross over that line. And God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you today. Help us to be attentive to those opportunities in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.